Whatever you want to say, I'm here. I'm listening.
You are if you say this is the day, the time where I'm done with the games and I'm all in.
Praise the Lord. What an exciting day, right? It's always an exciting day when we get together. I'm always excited about getting together anyway. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about love, how we love, what love is. We've even explored a little bit about what it means to love God and to love others. And as we've looked at these topics, or maybe you would call them responsibilities of love, we've been considering the Shema. And some of you, I've heard you, some of you have actually said to me, hey, Pastor, I'm going to learn that. We have been considering the Shema. The Shema. The Shema is a portion of text. It's found in the Hebrews, in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. And it's an important part of everyday life for every Jewish follower. It's something that they take very seriously and that they do, one of those words we try to stay away from in the church, but religiously, right? The Shema is taught at a very young age as it's recited every morning and every evening by every Jewish family. And it's done as a reminder or a way of remembering who God is in the lives of every man, woman, and child born into Judaism. I'm always intrigued by that because it just amazes me that you would take so much time and desire, put so much desire on remembering something. I think that we forget that often as Christians. We forget what we truly are supposed to be doing. And so when I hear of something like this that they do every day, morning and evening, to remember, I'm intrigued and I'm drawn to it. So I'd like to start out today by one more time reading the Shema. It's found in chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." This morning, I want to be intentional about how we approach this idea of love lived. You see, we just read an important passage of Scripture about what it looks like to love, to live love. I'm probably going to get those mixed up all day. I've been mixing them up as I've been practicing, so I'm sure I'm going to mix them up. But we need to learn how to live love. And so, I'd like to start by inviting Bob Galdin to join me on the platform. You thought it wasn't enough to have Barb. Barb, give Bob that mic on his way by. Have Barb up here telling a Bob joke. I'm going to have Bob come on his own. I just want Bob to come and share a story with us about Harold Lyons. And I'm going to let Bob do all the rest of that.
Thank you. Okay, Harold is a little guy that we met down at Axe through the WOW program. He's 69 years old. He was born completely deaf, so he has a hard time communicating with people. A little over 2 months ago, we found out that he was looking for a home. He's been living in his car for 5 years. He's 69 years old, so you know how hard that is. So down at Acts, Wow was told about this want that he had and need that he needed. So we started talking around, and through the Holy Spirit, the love of God, 9 people, 6 of them are from our church, put up the money for him to buy this place. His heart is so good that he wants to pay us back, and that's his plans. But he just moved in 2.5 weeks ago, and there's work to be done, and some of us people from here and down at Axe are going to help him fix it up. But that just shows you the love that God puts in hearts of people, especially in our church, that they're willing to share and help somebody in need. Thank you. Oh, by the way, Wow would like to thank everybody for all the contributions, their prayers, and support of the Wow program. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. It's really amazing to me because, you know, I was looking for the story that would connect what it looks like to actually live out love. And Bob and Judy started talking to Barb and I about what was going on with Harold and his place. And Barb looked at me and she went, there's your story. Right? Harold has been living in a car for 5 years. And an opportunity for him to come into a home happened. And many of you decided to live love. You decided to live love like Jesus would love. You gave. And there were others that gave, and I know that that happens often. I will say this. I know, because even though I'm not there every week, I'm involved with Wow just about every week in some way. And so Barb and I have heard all kinds of stories about tents that are purchased, mattresses that are purchased, letters that are written to encourage, to help, to offer, to meet a need. We hear about what you and others around that are involved in the WOW program, or maybe not, just continue to live, right? That's what it looks like to live out this love that we're talking about. So the story that you just heard about Harold, it fits well as we look at what it means for us to love, as Christ has asked us to love. And I want us to remember that the Shema that I just read, the Shema says, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. When you're looking for a picture of what that looks like, think of Harold Lyon. Or think of any of the number of people that have been reached, that have been touched by the generosity that you have given. And so, as we saw last week, there's more to this story of the Shema. Last week, we talked about how Jesus shared the greatest commandments with the scribe in Mark chapter 12. It was in verse 28 through 31. And he also commissioned us to love our neighbor. To me, these two observances result in us living the love of God. So, as we live the love of God, we find ourselves confronted with more and more people who need to see what love really looks like. Let me take you on a journey through the New Testament scriptures this morning as we try to figure out what it looks like for a follower of Christ to live love as he loved us. One of the most well-known passages in the Bible is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I know some of you thought you were going to get out of it, but you're not. Would you stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God? I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8. Let's read it together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. There ends the reading. You can be seated and let me pray. Lord God, thank you for your love. Thank you for the ability for us to give back just a little bit because of the way you have loved us. Help us to love better. And Lord, as I try hard to bring across this message that you've put so deeply in my heart, I pray you'd hide me in the shadow of your cross. I pray, God, that I would realize the love of that cross, but that that cross would be all that is spoken of today. Your love that's shown through the cross. Hide me in the shadow of that, Lord, that I would only speak your words, that only your words would get out of this place. And Lord, just in case, I pray that your Spirit would guard every ear that hears, that they would hear and receive exactly what you have for them today. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you are and for all that you do. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I still remember the very first time I read the 1 Corinthians passage after salvation. I still remember it because it really bothered me. I mean, it bothered me a lot. You see, I had been raised by a family who did their best to show love. I mean, they weren't always there for everything, but they were there as much as possible. And so I thought I knew what love looked like. I thought I knew how love was received. And I read this passage of Scripture, and it bothered me. I just realized that if you read the Scripture with your eyes open, truly looking for what true love is, you quickly realize how incapable you are of actually loving this way. It gets real serious in verses 4 through 8 where it says, love is patient and kind. That means all the time. All the time. Don't raise your hand, but if you've had any kind of an encounter with me that didn't seem very loving, you know what I'm talking about. I don't want everybody to raise their hand at once. Love doesn't envy or boast about anything, even when you know you're right. If your name's Leanza, you know you're right a lot. I would venture to say if your name ends in a vowel, you know you're right a whole lot. Love, it's not proud, and it never dishonors others. Now, I got to tell you, I can deal with not dishonoring others, but pride seems to come even when I try hard not to acknowledge it. You ever notice that? Pride just kind of happens. We see how proud we acted more often than we see how proud we are acting. We see how much pride has influenced us in our past much better than we see that we are doing something because of some kind of inner pride. Even when I try hard, it still seems to happen. And then the scripture says, love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Can I get real with you? I see most people in life trying to get ahead at all costs. They often get angry when they don't get their way, and many hold a grudge, which, by the way, is the same as keeping a record of wrongs. You get that, right? If you're a grudge keeper, I'm sorry to have bothered you there, but it's the truth. If you're keeping a record of wrongs and holding a grudge, it's the same thing. And it all seems to happen against the people that they think are getting ahead of them. We're all trying to get ahead. We're all trying to rise to the top. We all want to be the superstar. Remember that sermon? It was a week ago. Right? Now I know that this passage goes on, and I know that I could go on and tear it apart, but this isn't really my point today. We're trying to look at what love is, not the fact that we can't live it. So I'd like to move ahead on that if it's okay. Human beings were created in the image of God originally. We were created to be like them. Read Genesis 1 and 2. You'll get it. And when we live according to the Holy Spirit's lead in our lives, we find ourselves living like we were intended to live. But we often do this when we decide to walk the path that we see as best for our future, or whatever you might want to call that, you know, because I don't want to make it about me, Pastor. So, you know, it's not really that I want to be known as the best blank, but I am, so I should be known that. Right? I mean, that's kind of the deal. Well, when we do that, we're not following God's plan any longer, and we begin to go on our own self-seeking plan. Let's go a little bit further. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 47 says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. Wait. So, I'm supposed to show God's love to the people that treat me bad? What? Are you crazy, Pastor? I want you to know I'm not crazy. I mean, there's family members, but we're not going to talk about them. Actually, Jesus is explaining to his followers what will make them different from those who are not following him. Don't you think that would make you a little different? If you were to love the people that treat you bad, if you were to go out of your way to bless somebody who's always trying to take from you? Don't you think that would make you a little different? Can you imagine what would happen in your environment if you would actually live this way? I mean, people wouldn't know how to react to you, would they? If every time someone said something ugly, you were able to let it go without a reaction. I mean, that would be just cool if that could just happen here in the church, wouldn't it? Ouch. I heard a couple murmurs, but nobody really wanted to make a noise that anybody would hear them. Right? Or even better, if you were able to respond to that in some loving way rather than the way we all tend to react. Am I right? Don't be offended by this, but I just want you to know, Barbara and I get calls all the time. Oh, you should hear what so-and-so is doing today. They have been so mean. They don't know what the Spirit is doing. I need to drop something just to see if it's really this quiet in here. Right? What if we reacted in love? What if we reacted in a way that just blew their minds because we were maybe like Jesus, like we were originally meant to be? I want you to remember that today we're talking about what it means to live out love, the kind of love that God gave for us, the kind of love that God showed us through Christ Jesus. Remember that as I'm speaking. I'm not speaking to anybody in particular. I just want you to know we're supposed to be living love. That kind of stuff shouldn't happen in here, ever. It shouldn't happen out there, not if you or I are involved. So it definitely shouldn't happen in our family. Now look at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. It says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment." A new commandment. Interesting. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Wow. Wow. If you want people to know that you're a true follower of Christ, then your life will reflect His love all the time. All the time. Here's another scripture passage. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law." What a great thing to know. "For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I think our children know this one. Hopefully you do. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Some of you know that. Good. There is no law against these things. I really hope that you're getting this. You see, I've been talking to some of you for over 2 years about how our lives should show others what God is like. And this summer has been a real eye-opener. We have to begin to live this love all the time if we really want to see lives transformed, empowered, and forever changed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter where you've gone or how you've acted or reacted. What matters is what you do from today forward. It's time for all of us to start living the love of God everywhere. I was looking for a good sermon illustration that showed this kind of love and how it can change lives of the people in our community. And I found a couple that I'd like to share as I wrap this up today. Would it be okay if I just read these to you? Okay. One's about a boy named Ted. Ted was definitely someone who would qualify as one of the least. Don't say this, but can you think of somebody? One of the least. He was turned off by school. Very sloppy in appearance, expressionless, unattractive. Even his teacher, Miss Thompson, enjoyed bearing down her red pen as she placed X's beside many of his wrong answers. I didn't say this before. I'll probably cry when I get to the end of this. I have every other time, just so you know. Get ready. Maybe someone wants to take a picture. If only Miss Thompson had studied his records more carefully. They read, first grade, Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. Grade two, Ted could do better. Mother is seriously ill, receives little help from home. Third grade, Ted is a good boy, but too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Ted is very slow, but well-behaved. His father shows no interest whatsoever. Christmas arrived. The children piled elaborately wrapped gifts on their teacher's desk. Ted brought one too. It was wrapped in brown paper and held together with scotch tape. Miss Thompson opened each gift as the children crowded around to watch. Out of Ted's package fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing, and a bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to snicker, but she silenced them by splashing some of the perfume on her wrist and letting them smell it. She put on the bracelet too. At day's end, after the other children had left, Ted came by the teacher's desk and said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And the bracelet looks real pretty on you. I'm glad you like my presence." And then he left. Miss Thompson got down on her knees and asked God to forgive her and change her attitude from today forward, right? The next day, the children were greeted by a reformed teacher, one committed to loving each of them, even the slow ones, and especially Ted. Surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, Ted began to show great improvement. He actually caught up with most of the students and even passed a few. Time came and went. Miss Thompson heard nothing from Ted for a long time. Then one day she received this note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know. I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted." 4 years later, another note arrived. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me that I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Ted." And 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stellard, M.D. How about that? "I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You are the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Miss Thompson attended that wedding and sat where Ted's mother would have sat. The compassion she had shown that young man entitled her to that privilege." This is what love as God loves really looks like. When we take time to receive people and care about them. We invest in someone else's life. And when we do that and we invest in a way that gives them an opportunity to be more than they know they can be, that's when we're loving like God loves us. Our CCNAS vision statement says, we envision equip Christ followers serving our neighbors. What are we doing to equip people who are attending our services? I got kind of straight with the board the other day, because we do this a lot. This is mine. This is my pulpit, you know, right? I'm the preacher. You can't preach. I'm the preacher. No, that's not how we do it. Instead, we need to come like this. Hands open. What do you want, Lord? Do you have another preacher? Bring him. Do you have another singer? Bring him. Do you have another guitarist? I need to not be there. Lord, whatever. Here, it's yours, not mine. So the question is, are we giving away our prized whatever so someone else will find eternal life? Our CCNAS mission statement says, we exist to see lives transformed, empowered, and forever changed. Are you and I really empowering others? Are we really empowering other people to serve? Are we giving away that prized thing that we hold on to? Are we coming to God with our hands open saying, whatever you want and whatever you need, if I have it, God, you can use it. You can have it. You are the only thing that matters to me. That's loving like God loves. God's been challenging me to live my life in a way that shows his unconditional love to everyone all the time. All the time. It has cost me a lot and has taken much of my time. But it's been better than anything I've ever done for myself. Will you stand with me? Today, if you don't know this kind of love that I've been talking about, will you pray and ask God to fill you with his love? Or if you've been wondering what it means to live love as God loves, will you ask him to show you his love today? The best way to make this happen is to make a public confession of your desire to follow him. That's scriptural. So let me invite you to do that by stepping out of your chair and walking up here to one of these altars. If you'll make that step, he will fill you with more love than you have ever experienced. Will you come?